Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I'm bringing hassle back.
Get your sexy on.
We are. Third hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase. Our show is presented by Creation CBD. I said yes, we are ready. Products curated for life. Darren McFarland, Willa Donick, Chase McCabe with you. We say hello and good afternoon to Tim Hasselbeck, who now joins us on the program. Tim, how you doing?
Doing great. How are you guys?
Well, we're doing better than Julio Jones, and that's where I want to start with this. Do you think this is going to ultimately end his career? This hamstring injury that he, for some reason, can't seem to get past. I mean, it doesn't matter how long he sits, whether it's an entire off season or 4 weeks or whatever it is. I mean, this has been going on for now, what, 2+ years, the hamstring injury? Is this ultimately going to shorten his career, in your opinion?
Yeah, it could do it. Just to kind of be blunt, I think I've told you guys the story before, but I signed with the Giants, and so I'm, you know, in my, I don't know, I'm either 30 or I'm in my early 30s, and, the head trainer is a guy named Ronnie Barnes, and he was with the Giants my father's last year with the Giants. And long story short, my father's career ends, when he's in his early 30s, because he pulled his hamstring and couldn't.
Oh, no.
He's in the West Wing.
Am I in the wing? Come on, man. How am I now?
Okay, there you go.
Am I good now?
Well, yeah, you were on a roll and then you went away.
I pulled my hamstring as soon as I got there. Ronnie Barnes said to me, swear to God, first thing he says to me when I go in, I'm like, I pulled my hamstring. And he's like, that ended your dad's career.
Oh.
And I'm like, listen, man, that is not what I wanted to hear. As I'm like trying to come back from it. And it's kind of a weird thing where you're like, all right, you know, I've let it heal. I've treated it. I've gotten it stronger, whatever it may be. But then you just get to a point where you continue to redo it. And they're tricky. And you don't know until you kind of open up and run. And being a receiver who, you know, has just continued to re-injure it, I would not feel good about the future of it.
So with that being said, I mean, it feels like, and I know it's easy to say this today, but I mean, there's now enough body of work. I just kind of feel like every time we say Pro Bowl receiver, future Hall of Famer, we're just talking about the past that we're never going to see here, right? I mean, we're never going to see Julio Jones. He's never going to be the guy that the Titans hoped they were getting when they traded for him. True?
I think that's more than true. Yeah.
Yeah.
And really, you know, you look at other guys that ended up places, or just take A.J. Green. Like, he has appeared, they're the same age, same draft class. You know, he has been, and it's not been perfect for him, but, yeah, he's been a healthier, more productive player this year. And I think that, you know, there the risk in terms of thinking, you know, production for either one of those guys would be better next season than their current production in this season, I think it'd be foolish to bank on that.
Do the Saints have, like, kryptonite? Like, what is it where they just own the Bucs in the regular season? 7 straight times they shut out Tom Brady for the first time, I think, in, what, 255 games since 2006. Let's start there. What is it about the Saints that they have been able – they've had this magic formula or potion where they've been able to get to Tom Brady?
Here's what I think about why the Saints are a good matchup. And in fairness to just this past weekend, right, like Evans is out and Godwin is out and Fournette gets hurt. And, you know, so some of those things happen, which, you know, help provide a shutout, which, you know, then obviously started to draw even more attention on the lack of success against New Orleans. But New Orleans is good at stopping the run, which, you know, obviously you need to do against them. You think of games where Tampa's just been okay, but they've won the game because they've run the ball well. I think of the Indianapolis Colts game as an example. And then they've got legitimate pass rushers, you know, between Davenport, who is a high pick, who's a very good player, to Cam Jordan. Like, they do a good job rushing the passer. And you even go back to previous years, Hendricks, who's now in Cincinnati, he is an excellent pass rusher. It's like, I've always felt like they've got, you know, a bunch of guys that can rush the passer. So if you can stop the run, get into known passing situations, those things are good. And then I'll tell you another thing that I think is a real factor, and it certainly was on Sunday night, is that Malcolm Jenkins was drafted into the NFL as a cornerback. And so even though he's played the majority of his career at safety and he's a really big physical guy, he's got excellent coverage skills. And so I think that he is, you know, as far as matchups with Gronk go, he's about as good as it gets in terms of what you can do in terms of, you know, having one guy play man-to-man on Gronk and do a decent job of holding his own. So I just think there's an element of them matching up personnel-wise well against Tampa.
So now they've learned Chris Godwin, done, torn ACL. But they're getting Antonio Brown back. But what does losing Chris Godwin mean the rest of the way for the Bucs? Is it just a hiccup? Is this a speed bump? I mean, is this something that could do them in? How do you view Godwin being out of the mix now the rest of the way?
I think it could do them in. Godwin, from my vantage point, was their best receiver. And I would say that best receiver in terms of his versatility, his speed, his run after the catch, ability to move him and have him play inside as well as have him play outside. And then I'll give you another one that is not really that, you know, I don't know that it's talked about that much, but his versatility and his willingness in the run game as a blocker is almost, you know, comparable to the impact that Gronkowski has in their run game. And Collinsworth talked about it a little bit, you know, during the Sunday night game about, you know, Arians rewarding Godwin because, you know, he's doing a lot of the dirty work in the run game in terms of the receivers, and so they throw him the wide receiver screens and stuff to reward him. But there was a fourth down play. It was either third and one. I think it was a fourth and one where they go for it, Tampa does. And Godwin was out at this point, and Tampa doesn't get it. And the reason they don't get it is it's actually a bust by the receiver Johnson, who's in the game in replacement for Chris Godwin. And he doesn't go block the right guy.
Oh, I think that was the Keyshawn Vaughn run, wasn't it?
Was it Vaughn who was in the game at that point?
I think it was Vaughn, yeah.
Well, if you get a chance to go back and look at it, it's because 18, Johnson, who's in the game for 14, Godwin, doesn't block the right guy. And you know, there are elements of that type of stuff where it's like, yeah, I think he's that valuable to the football team.
It was interesting, and I brought this up yesterday on the show, Chris Collinsworth, and you could tell he was trying to be careful but really wanted to talk about this, and you may know where I'm going with this. It was right after the Godwin play, and this is, of course, well before, you know, they don't have any idea he's torn his ACL, but Collinsworth was, as a former receiver, talking about, you know, where are these guys? They tell you don't hit high. Now they're going low, and he's like, man, if you talk to enough of these players, they would prefer you go high than you go low. And like I said, you could tell he was trying to massage and be delicate, but also really wanted to say, man, I don't know if this is such a good idea that there's so much emphasis about not going high because this is now what you're going to get. Did you catch him? Did you hear him say that?
Yeah.
And what did you think?
He's right. And I've talked to guys just like he's talked to guys, to a man. They would all rather get hit up high. And look, nobody wants to get a concussion. Nobody wants to have brain damage. Okay, that's not what Collinsworth is saying.
Right.
That's not what, you know, that's not what guys want. Okay. But if you're Chris Godwin, okay, who's playing on a franchise tag, who's about to make life-changing money, you know, for, you know, probably in some cases like generational wealth, you know, in terms of playing on the tag this year and the deal he's about to get, would you rather get hit up high and get knocked out and miss a week, 2 weeks, maybe miss no time, maybe miss a month, you know, maybe you've got a Adam Humphries situation and it's worse than you ever could have imagined. Would you rather that, or would you rather a nearly year-long recovery to rehab from an ACL with no assurances that you're going to be able to make a full recovery? That's the, you know, the dilemma. And I'm not saying it's right that most players would rather have the concussion, but, and maybe it's an element of, look, we need to protect players from themselves because they're thinking about the next 10 years, you know, not the next 30 years. But that's just the reality of how players today think, because Chris Godwin now has entered into free agency with way more uncertainty. His value has probably decreased, and there's no assurances that he'll make a full recovery.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us. Tim, I've been looking over the 49ers all morning, and I'll tell you what, it's, if you look at different sites and different stats, you kind of wonder why they're only 8-6. They're really coming on. I feel like they're still a little bit under the radar. And so would you agree, first and foremost?
I completely agree. That's a team that, you know, not going to win their division, but can they go to Dallas and beat Dallas? Can they go to Arizona and beat Arizona? There's a lot of what they do that would make you like them and make you, could they go to Green Bay and surprise people? I think just they do a lot of things really well that are going to be hard for whoever they play.
So let's go to the top then and see what you think of how Garoppolo has been playing. Because he's got this reputation ever since the Super Bowl. It seems like they've kind of wanted to get rid of him. But to me, his numbers look pretty good. So what are they doing right there, and how much can he elevate them?
Well, here's what I would say. I think that the hardest thing for Garoppolo has been staying healthy. It's not like Garoppolo hasn't had good moments, right? Took a team to a Super Bowl, and you can say, Jared Goff did as well, and, you know, there are flaws in what he does. Sure, all that's true. I don't think anybody's saying that Jimmy Garoppolo is Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers or any of those guys. But, can you win with him? He's proved in his career that you can win with him. His big issue has been he really hasn't been healthy. I mean, I look at the Cincinnati game he played a couple weeks ago where, he threw it 41 times. He was awesome in that game, and it was a close game. He made a lot of really good plays. Now, he had a mistake at the end of the game that could have cost them, and it didn't. And so I think that, you know, there are elements of that where people look at it and go, how much can you trust him? But with a really good defense, a good run game, excellent coaching in terms of play calling and things like that, I don't know. I look at that team as a team that's are they perfect? No. But that's not a walk in the park, no matter who they play in the postseason, even on the road, because of the fact that, what they do will travel.
Yeah, and that's the concern for the Titans, as they still are trying to get the pieces back. Hopefully they get A.J. Brown back. Tell me about Deebo Samuel, because they figured out something. It looks like it's happening around the league a little bit, where people are thinking outside the box. I see with Cordero Patterson. Mm-hmm. Let's take a guy who's a wide receiver, but let's sort of make him a hybrid running back. So tell me what you're seeing with Samuel.
Yeah, you're exactly right. There are some of these guys that, for whatever the reason, they were, probably started in high school where, there was maybe somebody bigger than them that was playing running back. And so they, even though they were kind of better off playing receiver. And, I remember when I was in Washington, I played with Lavernius Coles. Well, like Lavernius Coles was amazing once he touched the ball. Now, he was playing receiver, but he played tailback in college. And truthfully, he could have been a running back if he wanted to be. And so I think there are guys, and Cordero Patterson's a little bit different because he's so much taller. But when you look at Deebo Samuel, when you look at the way people have, use some of these touch passes to get guys, on the perimeter, or jet sweeps, or, designed, wide receiver perimeter screens, all of those things, truthfully, are just an extension of your run game. And I think that, what they've done a good job of in San Francisco is they've said, all right, well, can we run him with, maybe some window dressing? It's not, just a I formation, we're running a lead ISO play. Can we get some misdirection runs going with him where it's just a matter of him catching the seam? And they've been able to do that. And he's a really, really dangerous player. And the challenge ends up being, because of his versatility, many teams like to match personnel. Well, how do you treat him? And I think you have to treat him as a wide receiver, but it kind of messes things up when he lines up in the backfield.
We're talking to Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. And Tim, looking at the Titans offense as they go to take on San Francisco, I mean, we saw put up 13 points in the loss to the Steelers. They had four turnovers, and that's been the Achilles heel for them. They turn the ball over. They're not winning these games. But what do you want to see if A.J. Brown's back? What do you want to see Todd Downing do a little bit differently to try and open up this offense a little bit?
I think that there's got to be something where you're like, they can hang their hat on this. I did a tape for SportsCenter this week, and it revolved around that drive this past week, Chase, that I think it was first and goal from the four. They had all three timeouts left, and it was before the half. And so first and goal from the four, the way the offense was constructed before, I think we would all agree that there was a likelihood that you would have had at least one run, maybe two, in that environment, especially with all your timeouts. When you look back at what they did, they didn't throw it a single time. They took a sack and ended up kicking a field goal. So, I think there are elements of, them trying to find their way of, okay, what is our identity right now offensively with the personnel that we have? And so, in terms of A.J. Brown being back, I think part of the identity would have to be, getting him as many touches as he can on the move, because he's good once the ball's in his hands and he's on the move. So not stuff where he's stationary, not stuff where he's coming back at the quarterback, but stuff where he's on the move. And then I think the thing they did a good job of last week, especially earlier in the game, is on a couple of, short yardage situations, they were different than they've been in the past because of their personnel. One of them was a Tannehill run for a first down. Another one, was a run out of the shotgun, a kind of a zone read type of run. And so I think, what do you want to see them do? I think you want to see them do things that show some type of, evolution or transition from, what they were doing, and doing them well. And so that to me ends up being the thing, because I think there were elements of them doing things differently in that goal line sequence I described, but there's also like a second down play where, they throw a stick route to Westbrook Akina, and he just goes to the ground for the ball when he can probably catch it, stay on his feet, and potentially break a tackle and end up in the end zone. So I think those are the things. You're not going to reinvent yourself, but you do need to kind of find things that you can do that you weren't doing prior to losing Derrick Henry.
So let me preface this by saying, I mean, we've talked to you about Tannehill, and even when Henry was healthy and you had Brown, I mean, there were still things. He just didn't look the same. Like, he was making some mistakes, and it could have been different offensive coordinator or all those things. But do you view him as maybe this year's Jared Goff, in a sense of that saw a lot of good things with Arthur Smith, but then he kind of got figured out and then he's regressed?
See, I don't. Now, I'm sure that if, you know, you're able to talk to him about, you know, things that he wishes he has back, I mean, I'm sure there are elements of being able to protect the ball better that, you know, he would acknowledge that he'd maybe do them differently. Here's the way I think I see it. And I feel like I've talked the last couple weeks about Dak Prescott and the slump that he's in and how he's playing. And I think there's these expectations for quarterbacks, especially once they get paid, that, you know, like, every game's going to be perfect. And when things change around them, like, that, hey, that's okay. You know, like, they're going to overcome all of the changes around them. And I just don't think that that's a reality in the NFL. Like, I don't. Like, Dak Prescott, for example, the last few weeks haven't been great. I think a lot of it has to do with the guys around him. And I think the same thing goes for Ryan Tannehill. Look, he's got a fumbled quarterback center exchange. You know, I didn't get a good look at it, but I would love to know kind of what that was about, because there's a good chance it's not on the quarterback. You know, the Firkser fumble, like, that's not on the quarterback. And so I think when those things happen, stuff just gets compounded. The offense struggles. You find yourself in a bad spot. And quarterback ultimately is still a very dependent position. And so that's where I think Tannehill is. And I think he's still a really good player. I don't think anyone got anything wrong. I just think the environment around him has been one that's hard to be successful in.
Quarterback apologist.
You know what's funny is, listen.
I agree with Tim.
But here's the thing, like, and it's funny, like, the quarterback apologist thing. There are times, like, when I say it about certain guys, when it's like, oh, but, like, I put it, just let's take Tannehill out of it, so it's not a local thing, and it's and here we are. Go look at Dak Prescott. I put a tape together on the guys playing poorly around Dak Prescott this past week. Now, Dak did not have his greatest game against Washington the prior week. But this past week, CeeDee Lamb had four drops, like four really bad drops. They were running some perimeter screens where, like, Dalton Schultz just whiffs on the guy that he's blocking on the perimeter, and so now it's an incomplete pass because, you know, Gallup can't catch it, and it's getting spit out, and, you know, then you get a situation where, you know, the offensive line has a bust up front, and then, like, before you know it, you kind of have, like, 10 plays like that in a game, and you look at the quarterback's performance and you're like, yeah, you know what, he wasn't great. And it's like, that might be kind of true, but again, it's still a dependent position. And so I just think that that's been the case for Ryan more than, hey, he's just been bad. I think you can go through and look at it and look at the changes around him, and it's not like, you know, we're making that stuff up.
Oh, I believe all that to be true, but I also say it's the position. They get all the praise, and then
they also
get all the criticism. I mean, that's part of it. I mean, I think they get overpraised because, as we've talked about.
You're right.
Right?
No doubt. But yes, listen, that is absolutely true, okay? That is absolutely true. But I would say this. How many quarterbacks do you think there are in the league that's like, listen, who cares their environment? They are going to – like, they can be successful no matter what's around them.
There's a handful. That's it.
Maybe not even a full handful. Like,
no?
You might get three. I mean, so name them. I mean,
well, Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers for one.
Yep.
Number one.
Mahomes.
Right? Mahomes, number two.
Yep.
Tom Brady's got to be in there. I mean, he's got to be.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair.
Three.
We'll put Brady in there. Listen. In fairness to putting Brady in there, because he's a passer only, the guys around him got to be good. But I'll put him in there. That's fine. Okay. So we got three.
I think that this is not good timing, but I think his career speaks for itself. I think Russell Wilson is a guy that elevates everybody around him. He's been able to do more with less. So do you think he's regressing?
I do. I think I do.
Okay.
But I don't think we can put him in that category now.
Okay.
Right? I mean, listen, Russell Wilson is not going to be in Seattle next year, and there are a lot of reasons why. So, like, I don't think that we can put him in that category.
If Deshaun Watson was playing, I think we would have him in that category.
That's fair. That's fair, and I would agree. He's not playing, but yeah, so that would get us to four.
Yeah. You know, well, I was counting on Russell Wilson, so you say no. Okay. I'm not ready to go with Herbert. I know some people would say Herbert. I'm not ready to go there yet. I think there's some guys that are really, really close, but they got to do more, right, for me to put them with that group.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And so when you look at that and you're like, well, look, wait a second. Like, here's the deal. Like, that's not, you know, the reality of those types of players and, you know, what you're getting is like, there aren't, you know, the half the league isn't made up of guys like that. Not even close. Not even a third of the league is made up of guys like that. And so what you're trying to do is find a guy that can play winning football. And I think that there's that next group of guys where you're like, yeah, this guy can play winning football. And that's what we need him to do. And that's why, quite honestly, he's paid like a starter. So whether it's Cousins, or whether it's Tannehill, or you know, guys like that, where you're like, yeah, he can play winning football, and so I just think that that's the reality of the quarterback position. And I think it has been pretty much forever.
Okay, so last thing, I'm gonna put you on the spot. I think when you look at the Colts and the Titans, I think there are more similarities than we want to believe. I think when you go down, up and down, whether it's the two head coaches, them running the football, things they do, they kind of mirror each other. They really do. And quite honestly, part of that equation, and this is where I'm going with this, their quarterbacks are kind of the same too. Like, their quarterbacks need help. They're not the elite that we were just talking about. They need help, but they're good. Everybody believes you can win with them when everything is right. So with that being said, who would you take, Wentz or Tannehill?
I would take Tannehill.
Really?
I think Tannehill is a better player under pressure than Wentz is. And Wentz has done a nice job of protecting the ball this year. But I think that if we're just going to look at this season and how guys played, I think there's the amount of help and support around the quarterback play, again, being a dependent position, I don't think there's any question that the guys around the quarterback have played significantly better in Indianapolis than they've played in Tennessee. And I think that the quarterback, you know, statistics and production, you know, have reflected that, not because the quarterback play has elevated the play around them. I think the play around the quarterback has elevated the quarterback.
Good stuff as always. Appreciate the visit. Merry Christmas to you and the family, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Merry Christmas to you guys. See ya.
Merry Christmas, Tim.
That's Tim Hasselbeck. Really good stuff from him. We'll come back and discuss that on the other side, because I do think the Titans and the Colts, who both have humongous games this week, it doesn't get any bigger. And, oh, by the way, both of them play before Sunday, so it's going to be interesting to see how that shakes out. They kind of mirror each other when you go up and down, just – checking the boxes. It's kind of scary. We'll discuss on the other side, but first, a word about Lee Company.
All right, let's talk Lee Company. Lee Company, 615-567-1000. That's the phone number to call. Sorry, I hit the wrong button there. Lee Company is a great sponsor of Nashville Predators hockey. You hear them all the time when we cover the team or when you go down to Smashville and watch the club play. They also have a great array of services. I'm going to mention today the home maintenance plan. It's always something that we benefit from in our household. We've had it for several years where we know we're on that rotation. Every year we get the call about the heating unit. Every year we get the call about our air conditioning. They come out and they check it, plus our plumbing, plus our electric. So you get those annual checkups. You make sure everything in your house is running fine. And if you do need some repairs, you can plan for that. And you also get discounts on it. That's the best part of paying the small monthly fee of the home maintenance plan. Check into it at Lee Company, 615-567-1000, or go online at leecompany.com. Lee Company, proud sponsor Nashville Predators. Let their decades of expertise go to work for you.
Back here on the DDC on this Tuesday. Today's Tuesday. Tomorrow's Wednesday. What should people do during the 6 o'clock hour tomorrow, Chase?
Chase is unavailable at the moment.
Oh, okay. Good stuff. Well, you can listen to Smashville Live. That'll be aired on these airwaves during the 6 o'clock hour. It happens.
It's a great show. Wednesday. Yeah. It's a great show.
Yeah, it seemed like you're out of breath.
What
kind of guests? Who's going to be on there tomorrow? What should people get excited about?
It's so big, it's a surprise.
Oh, it's a surprise.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, doesn't get any bigger buildup than that, folks. Tomorrow night during the 6 o'clock hour, surprise. Yep. Smashville Live.
Hey, remember the time you said, you never know?
I remember it well.
Yeah. It could be that.
Do you remember what happened after the next day?
Yes. I was walking into – I remember that vividly. So, Willie, I think this was before you were on the show. And Darren and I were cutting the promo after the show, and we hadn't figured out, you know, exactly what we were going to do yet. And so he cuts the promo. He goes, we'll have some big things. You never know, or something.
You never
like
know
that.
What's going to happen.
And I'm walking into the building the next morning, and Darren calls me, and I answer. I go, hey, what's up? And he goes, the Titans just fired Ken Wisenhunt, and that became the day. Like that was the day. That was a story. So
I said, you never know. There you go.
But you didn't know at the time that that's what it was going to be.
Did I? Did I not know?
No, I don't think you knew.
You know? You don't think so?
No.
Okay. Remember, I had a direct line to all things Ken Wisenhunt when he was here. It was quick. It was short.
He was your buddy, too.
Yeah. He was everybody's buddy. Didn't come out much, did he? Didn't come out and play well with others.
I remember one interview with you, though.
Yeah, we're at the Bridgestone Arena.
In particular, he got very spirited.
Yeah. He didn't like anything that wasn't a fluff question.
No.
He didn't deal with that very well. Kind of like he didn't deal with games after opening day. You know, after the opening week, he wasn't good with the other 15 games. He was good with the first one, just the other 15 gave him problems. Smashville Live is brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. So I was thinking about the Titans and the Colts last night. And, man, it's kind of eerie how similar they are, right? What is the Colts' absolute strength?
Running the ball.
Running the ball. No question. Right? No hesitation. What is the Titans' strength?
Running the ball.
Mm-hmm. How would you assess these two head coaches when you look around the landscape of the league? Upper tier,
coach team.
Middle of the pack, lower tier. What would you say?
I'd say top third.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Both, right? I think they're both
Both top tier, right? Top tier coaches, head coaches.
Yep.
Both of them have that go-to receiver, and I don't really know what T.Y. Hilton is. So they both kind of have a 1-2, right? They got to have a Pittman and a Hilton, and – the Titans, I don't know. It's not the greatest.
Not the greatest.
If they were in there, Brown and Jones, right?
On paper.
But they've never had that. They've had that about a half of one game.
Right. But on paper, like, it would be great.
Like, that's, they both like have a 1-2 that they would go
but
to, right?
T.Y.'s been hurt, too. So I mean,
yeah, T.Y.'s hurt a lot, too. Right. The Colts have a better tight end. They've got better tight ends, so they're better in that.
Yes, they have one.
Okay, how about the offensive lines? How would you assess that?
That's a good question.
Mm-hmm. I know one doesn't protect the quarterback very well.
Yeah.
I don't watch the Colts enough to be able to tell you. I think they've gotten better in that area. I thought early in the season they had – remember, early in the season the Colts had a lot of problems on the offensive line. They have the most money invested in the offensive line that any team does.
I would give the
so – they have an overall good offensive line.
Yeah, I would give the edge to the Colts.
They typically get praised a lot for their offensive line. Right, so probably yeah. Slight the edge goes to the Colts. Check mark goes to the Colts. What about the defense?
Both pretty good.
Yeah,
I'd say both. I think that one's your splitting hairs.
I think they're equal footing there.
I think it's pretty close. I mean, maybe Colts get maybe again.
I think
slight check mark maybe. Pencil?
Well,
the Colts have had more injuries. The Colts have had big injury problems on their defense earlier in the season, which is getting a little bit better now.
Yep, Nelson has been banged up.
They have some very good players, but
not Nelson. Their linebacker, Quentin. I'm drawing blanks on the linebacker, 53.
Oh, Darius Leonard.
Darius Leonard. Jeez, yeah. Leonard's been banged up a lot this year.
Been featured a lot in Hard Knocks,
but he's in there though.
Yeah,
he's in there now.
He's their captain. He's definitely running the show.
I think the difference with the Colts is they have a true, by definition, game wrecker on defense and DeForest Buckner.
Okay, but do they? Okay. So what is this? Where is yes? Agreed. Where is Buckner? Where is Simmons?
Simmons, I feel like there is still another rung up the ladder for him.
He's getting there.
But I'm waiting for week in and week out for you to go, that guy, like, he's going to wreck this game. Like, he is, he's going
to
take it over.
To your point, Buckner is that guy. He is. He is every week he is a game wrecker.
Like, you are watching out for 99.
We'll just give you the numbers from Football Outsiders. Indianapolis has the 8th most efficient defense, Tennessee 13th. So not much difference.
So that's what we thought, right? But about the same. And then you get to the quarterbacks. Wentz, Tannehill. They're a lot alike, are they not?
They're similar. That's
right?
For sure.
I think they're basically, I mean, the same type of quarterback. I mean, you can win with them, but a lot of things have to go your way. Sometimes you don't always trust them. They make mistakes. Obviously, I think Tannehill is a lot more – he's more mobile, I think, than Wentz, don't you think?
Yes.
Today? Like, Wentz is
pretty mobile. But
no, he was until he got hurt.
More mobile.
I think once he got hurt, right, he started getting hurt. I think he's been – less apt to take off and do as much running as he used to do, maybe?
Let's look at the numbers. Okay. Ryan Tannehill doesn't run very often, but when he does, he's extremely efficient.
He's extremely efficient.
And I think that's something that we've all sort of asked ourselves is, you know, should you risk and actually have him run a little bit more? But the problem is when you do that, you cannot afford to get him hurt. But he's only rushed 38 times for 248 yards, but his efficiency is the second best, or right up there, top three in the NFL. He just hasn't run it as much as some of the other guys. I'm looking at Wentz, 38 rushes, same amount for 190 yards, so not nearly as efficient, but capable. I would say Tannehill is quite a bit better.
That's what I'm saying. I think he's taken off less because of his injuries. He's been hit enough, I think.
He's not as fast. He's not as fast.
No, he's not as good of a runner, but I also think the injuries maybe he's a little skittish now. He's not as interested at this point in his career as maybe he was at the beginning stages of his career. I think that's the best way to put it.
I mean, if you're making me pick between the two though, I still would take Tannehill. Mm-hmm. I would still take him over Wentz.
Overall?
Overall.
No, overall. I knew the three of us would lean toward Tannehill. That's why I wanted to ask Tim, because I didn't know exactly where he would go. And I would be curious, like, if we asked enough national people, outsiders' view, people outside of the two markets, I wonder what they would say.
I thought Tim gave a great answer on the circumstance. I think I would put both of these quarterbacks in the category of, if you put them in a good position to succeed, then I think they can succeed. And I think Tannehill's already proven how good his numbers can look if he's got the things in place around him. But it's been so challenging for him with the protection and basically, and we went down the list of the journeymen that he's got to work with right now at every single skill position. The highest paid skill position guy, with Julio Jones out of the mix, is Anthony Firkser. And he's an undrafted guy that's a great story to get to where he is, and he's having a down year after doing, you know, some pretty good things last year. Now, hopefully A.J. Brown changes that. That's their only hope, really, until they get Derrick Henry back. But for them to go anywhere, they've got to have A.J. Brown. For Carson Wentz, I think the same can be said. He's got to have Pittman do his thing to make him look good, right? He's got to have that running game. He's got to have Pittman. Then if you do that, then he's got a chance to be successful.
Yeah, which is basically that's what I'm saying. They're the same. Like it's you need a lot of things around them working because they're the same type of quarterback. They are. They're almost exactly the same, even though we would lean slightly towards Tannehill, but it's just such a razor's edge. It's interesting because you have to have these things, and if you don't have, and it goes to show you, and Indianapolis would struggle too. If Jonathan Taylor went out of the lineup, they would struggle too. I mean, they just would. They would not look the same, and it just goes to show
you. How about him and Pittman?
Well,
what if you took him and Pittman out?
Of course.
What would he look like?
That's the point. Like this, and I realize it's stopped. But all this talk that we had about, you know, Tannehill needs to get more. It's like, just stop it. Like, Tannehill is just a byproduct of the pieces around him. That's it. Stop trying to make him more than what he is. I think people were trying to make him more than what he was for like the last year,
a lot of people.
A lot of people. He needs more credit. Because we don't talk about Tannehill. People were saying Tannehill for MVP.
I know, but I can remember us having the conversation on this show of, he's solid, and he can win you a Super Bowl with the right pieces around him, with the right supporting cast. He can do it, but you know, just asking him to do it by himself, he can't. He's just, that's
right,
not
right, but
him.
How many people can? That was Tim's retort.
Right.
Is that I'm not sure you could come up with a list of five. So I don't think that's huge news that he's not Aaron Rodgers, but I think he has been put in extremely difficult circumstances, which is definitely affected how he's had to try to play.
No, he hasn't been put in extreme difficulty. The only extreme difficulty
he hasn't put in extreme difficulty?
No. No, the only difference is he doesn't have. No, I'm not kidding you. He does. The only difference he does not have the king. That's what he doesn't have.
He doesn't have the king and AJ Brown and Julio Jones.
Derrick Henry is what makes everything tick. Don't make no mistake about it. Derrick Henry is the reason all this stuff worked, because he didn't have all these great targets last year. Don't act like he had all these great targets and he's had all these incredible weapons. No. Derrick Henry is what changes the dynamic of everything.
Of course he does. But it's everything. Also, if he had A.J. Brown and Julio Jones healthy the whole year, his numbers would look a lot better.
We're about to find out.
Even if you didn't have Henry. If
A.J.'s in the lineup and A.J. can be, you know, good, then we're about to find out if A.J. Brown makes a difference or if what Darren is saying
is 100%
true.
He's a very, very good NFL wide receiver, and the replacements for him are not. They're all journeymen. They all make around the league minimum. They are who they are. They're role players that are scrappy overachievers, but they do not move the needle.
Let me ask you this, Darren, because you were leading the Brady train a couple of years ago. If you take
hard,
big
hard,
time, if you take him right now today, him today, on December 21st, and you put him on this team, what does it look like? With the current pieces that they have.
With NWI.
Yep.
With Chester Rogers, Dontrell Hilliard, Deontay Foreman, Jeremy McNichols, Anthony Firkser, Cody Hollister, Racy McMath. You're telling me he could elevate that lineup and look like Tom Brady?
No, Gronk.
It's an unfair question because if he was here,
no,
Gronk
it's not.
Would
that's
be
exactly
here.
What that's. He that's exactly here. The Gronk circumstances that Ryan Tannehill is under.
He would be better. The answer is they would be better. Tom Brady is.
No, you're saying that, no. We're talking about he would have the same exact players around him in these circumstances.
Yep. Yep.
Brady would be better.
Yes. He can't move 100%
with the pass protection that the Titans have.
100%
really.
100%.
Who's he throwing to?
100% better. Who did he throw to in New England? Who were his star running backs in New England? It was a committee his entire career. He didn't have great receivers other than Randy Moss.
This particular
he had an offensive line, though.
They can't protect the quarterback. They can't protect
guys
the quarterback.
Guys are elite because the guys at the elite different level than everybody else know how to get rid of the football. I've said this a million times. The Colts didn't always have the best offensive line with Peyton Manning. The Saints didn't always have the best offensive line with Drew Brees.
We're
and the New England Patriots didn't always have the best offensive line with Tom Brady. The reason that they get praised is because those dudes and Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, they know how to get rid of the ball, and they know what's coming.
That's
they're
not what
different than everybody else. That's
we're talking
the difference.
But I'm asking right now.
This particular group with this group of personnel, you cannot tell me Brady would elevate this group
I'm telling
the way he
you,
is right now.
If you
no
go
way.
Back and rewind that, well, you can say no way all you want, and I'll say
well,
way.
They
so you
zero.
Say no way,
Tom Brady's
I'll say
team
way.
Scored 0 points on Sunday night.
And
let me tell you, they lost their key guys. They lost their key guys around
him.
On
this show, if you go back and talk about the week leading up to that New England playoff game, how many times did I say that team around him is garbage? You know what that team was? That team was the Cleveland Cavs whenever LeBron took them to the finals and everybody's going, how in the world is this team in the NBA finals? It was LeBron and everybody else. Tom Brady, that team was garbage. You put any other quarterback other than the other elite ones in the league on that roster is a 5-11 team, probably a 4-12 team that year. Tom Brady, that team was garbage. Garbage on offense. Garbage on offense. He had
again,
no weapons whatsoever.
No question.
No, they were garbage on offense. He had no one to throw to.
I guarantee you they had much more. They had guys that made more than the league minimum around him. That's right now. That's what Ryan Tannehill has around him in skill positions. Everybody makes the league minimum. There's not a single high draft pick. Most of the guys are practice squad guys, and a lot of them weren't drafted at all. That's what they're dealing with right
now.
That
team won
12. AJ Brown has got it.
That Patriots team won 12 games.
But I'm not asking about Tom Brady then. I'm asking about Tom Brady
on
now.
Offense. Yeah.
Well, I'm asking about Tom Brady today.
Okay, but it was 2 years ago.
Well, yeah, okay. Before, a lot changes for a 44-year-old guy in 2 years.
He won a Super Bowl in between those 2 years.
Right, because he had Godwin and he had Evans and he had Gronk and he had Fournette and all the players around him and a great offensive line.
And what he has right now today with Brown coming back, he still has Gronk, who's not 100%, but when is he ever? That's better than what he would have here. And they scored 0 points the other night.
I think it's hilarious that now Tampa's got a great offensive line. The year before when they won 8 games, Jameis Winston got killed. Same offensive line. What's the difference?
No, Tristan not Wirfs. True. They yes, exactly. Yeah.
Oh,
they used
so
the first round
guy.
Pick for an offensive
so
line.
That's
yes.
it. That guy, that
well,
changed
really,
everything.
It's more than one. Oh. Yeah, you can overhaul
one
an offensive line.
Now
in
the
one
greatest
year.
Offensive line in the league. One a rookie lineman.
Take a look at the ratings of the offensive line.
Okay.
It's improved dramatically.
Our texts are funny.
we'll agree to disagree. There's no way you're going to tell me that it would look exactly the same with the greatest quarterback that's ever played the game. There's no way. You want to say no way? Fine. I'm going to say way. Just like I did that entire offseason and said the Titans should go get Tom Brady. And I'm not changing my mind. And we can, and we're never going to know the answer. But there's no way you can tell me Tom Brady couldn't make the Titans look, this offense look different with the same pieces. There's just no way you can convince me. Because you're now telling me Tom Brady and Ryan Tannehill are the same guy. And they're not. They're not even close. Not even close. No, you are saying that. You're saying if Tom Brady could come in, he's not going to. It's going to look. It's not going to look any different. You're telling me they're the same guy, and I'm telling you they're not. And it's not. And we all know that. So there's no way that
they're
I'm going to sit
here
and say, no, they are. If you're telling me that it's not going to be any different, they are.
Well, I didn't. I'm asking the question. I didn't answer it. I'm asking you two the question. And Keith wants to know if because it's Porce last week, if he asked you guys to argue more, which was really funny. But no, I think it would be a tick better, but I still think that Tom Brady would – he wouldn't look like the Tom Brady in New England 5 years ago.
I don't think Tom Brady would stay upright. I think he'd be hurt by now, the way they protected the quarterback.
The thing with those Patriots teams that helped tremendously was the O-line. He had time. And, yes, to your point, he can manipulate the pocket better than anybody, but he had time to throw the football.
He dinked and dunked. He knows how to get rid of the ball. That's the difference. He didn't have a great – but it's not about a great offensive line. They know how to get rid of the ball. They know what's coming. That's the difference.
Who does he have here to dink and dunk to?
Who did he have in New England that he was dinking and dunking to that year?
Gronk.
That year?
Well,
was it
no.
Gronk?
James White? James
Gronk
White
was retired.
The best dink and dunk running back as receivers as there's been in a long time. He's always been good.
Yeah. How's he look since Brady left?
You had Julian Edelman.
Yeah.
Jules.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Would you take those guys, Gronk, Edelman, and James White, over Chester Rogers, Anthony Firkster, Cody Hollister, and NWI?
Hell
no
yes.
Way. No way.
Oh, okay.
I'd roll with those guys for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Group B.
I said hell yes. Just for the record.
I mean, you really want me to answer? I mean, come on. Let's not waste everybody's
time
with that
question.
That's
what he's dealing with right now. That's what Ryan Tannehill is trying to make it work with right now.
Okay.
Hopefully it gets
Josh
better.
Josh Reynolds helping him, you know, but he doesn't have them anymore. He's in Detroit.
Yep.
Josh from White House. Darren brought the special Christmas cookies today. I don't know what that means, but okay.
I don't either, but I would like a cookie. Christmas cookies are good. Very good. We're going to come back and go to San Fran. We're going to learn a little bit more about the opponent that's going to be here on Thursday. How good is this 49ers team? They've won 5 of their last 6. Everybody thinks right now this is a dangerous team. We'll find out if our guest agrees and why. On the other side. But right now I'm going to talk to you about my friends at Cool Springs MD. You've heard me talk about them for years because they've been helping me for years become healthier and happier. And who doesn't want that? I know I do, which is why I've been going there. They've helped improve my quality of life. And as we get older, that gets tougher. And they focus in on a lot of things that we all have to deal with as adults, like weight loss management, right? It's just a struggle that we'll always have. As adults, there's just going to be times whenever you've just tacked on some unwanted pounds that you would love to shed. Well, they've got programs and products and people that can get you back on track and headed in the right direction. Rejuvenation, your appearance is important, and it's challenging. It's tough as we get older. Well, their staff can sit down with you and talk about PRP, hair removal, Botox, and finally, hormone therapy. Have you ever had your levels checked? Do you know that they tend to dip when you get older? Sometimes they can dip to all-time lows, which could affect your drive, could affect your energy, could affect your mood. Maybe you've just been feeling really off lately and you're wondering what the heck's going on. Well, they'll be more than happy to discuss BHRT, testosterone, estrogen. They do it all. These are just some of the things they do at that state-of-the-art facility in Cool Springs at 1642 Westgate Circle. If you want to learn everything about them, just go to their website, coolspringsmd.com, or you can always pick up the phone and schedule an appointment or consultation by dialing this number, 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At ChumbaCasino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.